You're listening to the Message Podcast of High Ridge Church Longview, where our vision is to help you know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and ultimately make a difference. We are so glad that you're here, and we pray that this message impacts your life as you apply the spiritual truths from God's Word in practical ways. Let's listen in.
Oh, it's always an honor anytime I'm asked to bring a message to our church family. It's something that I don't take lightly. I take it very seriously, and I'm very grateful for PT trusting me because we're actually going to do part two of the series that he began last week called Signs. Now, we know that God, from the beginning of time, began giving signs that pointed people to him, pointed people to his presence, to help clarify his will. That's the thing that we need to understand. When we're talking about signs, we're talking about signs that point us to God, that point us to the direction he has for us. It's not that we're saying, Lord, give me a sign so I can really cash in on that stock market. You know, give me a sign so I get that car I've always wanted. It's not about that. It's about recognizing the signs that God gives that help point us to him. Does that make sense? Are you with me on this? Hey, if you want me to preach a better message, he's going to have to write a better one. That's all there is to it. we're going to be talking out of Isaiah 7, because 700 years before the birth of Christ, there's a sign given. And we're going to find it here in Isaiah 7. God pointing us to him, pointing us to who he is and what he's about. And it's significant today. And so what we're going to do is recognize that God is constantly giving us signs. Sometimes those signs can come just right out of his word. It just jumps up at us. And I was some years back, Deborah and I were living in Northwest Arkansas, and we were really had been praying about returning to Texas and back into the Dallas-Fort Worth area at that time. And we felt like we had heard pretty clearly the direction. We'd already set in motion the steps, but I was just kind of being a baby, I guess. I was like, Lord, it sure be great if I just had one more little confirmation that we're doing the right thing. Yeah. Anybody ever been there? Yeah. And so immediately a scripture flashed into my brain, and it was Isaiah 52, verses 11 and 12. And then the Lord prompted me to read it in a different version than I would normally read or study from. And so I picked up my phone, went to the Bible app, and went to that reference and opened up. And here, and remember, I'm asking the Lord, are we doing the right thing? Are we supposed to leave? Are we supposed to go from where we are? The first words I read were, out of here, leave this place. Now, I'm not a smart man, but that seemed pretty clear to me, right? So sometimes God will, but here was the point. He was pointing us in the direction of his will for us. He will speak from his word. He can speak through other people to encourage and bring timely words to us. And it's important for us to recognize it. But it's important for us also to recognize this. God's plan for your life begins and ends with your relationship with Jesus. That's where it starts. That's where it ends. It's all about that. So if we keep that in our context, even as we're looking towards the holidays and the Christmas season and all of that, the signs that God gave pointing us, just like he did the wise men, just like he did the shepherds in the field, gave them the sign of the angels declaring, all of this God does to bring us to Jesus and his will. We're going to be reading, jumping around a little bit in Isaiah 7, but I want to give you kind of the background. King Ahaz is the king of Judah. Now, at this time in history, the nation of Israel has separated. There's now a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom. There's Israel and there's Judah. And each of them have their own king. And the king of Judah is Ahaz. Now, when you read through the book of Kings and you start seeing how they do it, it almost always starts with King so-and-so began his reign at this age for this long, and he did not do what was right in the sight of the Lord. Or they will give a name and say, he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. I'm going to give you a hint. Ahaz, no. He was a stinker. He did not do what the Lord directed. He brought in idolatry. He did all kinds of things. The scripture even says he sacrificed one of his sons to an idol. And so this is not a good dude. But the context that we're reading from here in Isaiah 7, he's in trouble. In fact, he's surrounded. They've got two armies coming against them, and they're making threats. And what their threats are, we're going to so decimate Judah that people will never know it was here. And that's the threat. That got his attention. He's a little spooked. He's a little scared. And it's in that context I want you to hear this scripture, Isaiah 7, verses 10 through 13. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz. Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights. But Ahaz said, I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test. Then Isaiah said, hear now. That would be, here in East Texas, that'd be, hey, boy, right? That's what my wife says to me. I don't know if any of you ever get those. When you do or don't do something you're supposed to, you get a hey, boy. Yeah, well, that's embarrassing. Nobody else seems to have that experience, just me. So, anywho, he says, hear now, hey, boy, is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. And Emmanuel means God with us. Let's pray together. Father, we're so grateful for your word. We're so grateful that you speak to us. We're so grateful that we have that opportunity today. We ask for the Holy Spirit to guide us and instruct us in all truth. We ask, Lord, for the Holy Spirit to open up our hearts and our minds to what you're saying to us today, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I mentioned that Ahaz was a guy who didn't do the will of the Lord, but he's spooked enough, he's upset enough, he's scared enough that he risks saying, maybe we'll just call for that prophet guy, Isaiah. See, maybe he might have something to say that I want to hear. And when that happens, being in a time of great fear, God was speaking. And I think it's important that God still spoke to this king who was wicked. Let that sink in on you for a minute. You don't earn God's voice in your life. You don't get to do anything you do to earn it. I'll be good enough. God will start talking to me. No, that's not how it goes. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. So coming into a relationship with Jesus is all we need. It's all we need. He comes and says to Isaiah, hey, well, you know, it's a God speaks through the man of God, through the prophet. He was offering signs even to this wicked king that he was trustworthy, that God could be trusted. Now, as it turns out, Ahaz did not trust the Lord. In fact, if you go over into 2 Kings and read the story there, he actually hires mercenaries. He basically decides, no thanks, I got this. Just checking in, but I'm going to do what I want to do. Yeah. Unfortunately, sometimes we find ourselves in those places as well, don't we? But here's the thing that I want you to hear. God consistently asks his people to trust him over what they feel. Hey, I don't know what your perspective is on our culture. I don't know what your political state is. I don't know what your view on the economy. But one thing I can 100% tell you have feelings about it. They might be good feelings, it might not be good feelings, but you have some feelings. And when we're going through change or where things are happening in our society or in our lives, in our circumstances, we have feelings that rise up. They might be feelings of fear. They might be feelings of anxiety, the stress, all of those things, they begin to happen. And what God is consistently asking of us is, will you trust me more than you trust your feelings? Something that gets said around here all the time is, choices lead, feelings follow, right? And so we're not denying that we have these feelings. If I'm feeling scared and anxious, I don't go to the Lord and say, I'm good. No, I admit it. I tell him, I'm feeling anxious. I'm worried about this. I'm scared. It's in these times that God says, will you follow and trust me more than your feelings? Have you ever thought that you could worry something away? You ever worry about something and it didn't happen? Is that when you tell yourself, I worried it away? That's not a thing. That's not a thing. But we can feel it. We can feel it. So he's asking us to trust him over what we feel. I want to give you three things today that will help us follow the signs the Lord is giving and does give us to help us find and know the direction and know the will of God for us and his presence, okay? Number one, some signs come disguised as opposition. Don't get mad at me. I didn't write this. The Lord has a way of using uncomfortable things to get us to move. In fact, we put it this way, opposition creates opportunities. When we're in challenging times, when things are difficult, when things are not going easy for us, then it starts to get us willing to move, willing to make a change, willing to move to a new spot, whether that's physically or just emotionally or mentally. It reminds me of the eagle that will, when their young are getting to the point where they need to be able to fly and they need to leave the nest, they're maturing to that point, the mom eagle will go in there and start pulling up and making sharp things in the nest so that the young ones are not comfortable there. And that discomfort causes them to be willing to take that leap out of the nest. God will do this for us as well. He will. He will do it. When Deborah and I were still living in Fort Worth, and we were in a very uncomfortable kind of season. We had had some change happen. The place where we were going to church didn't feel the same. It was uncomfortable, and we didn't know if we fit, and we didn't know. It was just a lot of weirdness going on, and it went on for almost 3 years. But we didn't have a release to do anything else, so we just stayed where the last place that God told us to be. We're there until he says differently. But man, it got uncomfortable. And we were living in a wonderful home. We loved our home. We loved the area that we lived in. It was great. But we were getting very uncomfortable. Something needed to change. And then God gave us a sign. He gave us a sign. I got a phone call in July of 2020 from Tim Ingram asking me to pray about whether we could have more of an involvement with what God was doing here in Longview. Those 3 years prior had made us uncomfortable enough that we were willing to say yes to whatever the Lord wanted us to do. This happens in our lives sometimes. It's one of those things that we need to understand. Fear doesn't just take, it often gives, and what it gives us is often the chance to pray, the chance to slow down and think, the chance to listen, the chance for us to maybe take time and slow down and see what signs God might be giving us. And also it helps us feel motivated. That I'm uncomfortable. I'm ready to move to the next thing. Then God showed me where to go. Now, Israel was in trouble. They were afraid. They were being attacked by two armies. They got so afraid that he was willing to go to the prophet, even though he wasn't following God's truth in his life. Verse 2 of Isaiah 7 says this, "So the hearts of Ahaz and his people were shaken as the trees of the forest are shaken by the wind." Now, I've been scared before. I've been startled. I've been scared and been in scary seasons. I've been in scary places around the planet. I truly have. But I don't remember ever being so afraid that I physically was shaking. That's some fear. That is fear going to a strange level. And that's what's happening for Ahaz. In fact, the scripture tells us that they were shaken as trees of the forest are shaken by the wind. God told Isaiah, go tell the king to trust in God in the middle of his fear. It's amazing to me, the grace of God. This man is obviously a wicked man. He's not leading the people in the right way. And yet God is telling his spokesman, go tell him to trust me. I'm giving him a sign to trust me. Verse 4 of chapter 7 says this, say to him, be careful, keep calm, and don't be afraid. Do not lose heart. Verse 7 says, this is what the sovereign Lord says. It will not take place. It will not happen. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. Now, what's interesting is that God is wanting Ahaz, and he's telling him, stand firm in your faith, even though what you're fearing is not going to happen. It's not going to happen. The threat was, we're going to eradicate Judah. But you know what? There was a promise that the Messiah would come out of the tribe of Judah. Yeah. Yeah. There was a promise. And God is saying, hey, I've given you signs. You trust me. Trust me. This thing that they're threatening isn't going to happen. In fact, in another place in Scripture, it says, within the next few decades, these people coming against you, they won't exist. Their nations won't exist. Trust me. Some of the things that we think we're dealing with, they always feel permanent, don't they? They feel permanent, but they're not. You're going through a challenging moment, challenging season. You need to remind yourself, this is not forever. This is not forever. This is now. I can trust God now. God told him, stand firm in faith. What really was happening here, it's in his thoughts. Where was the fear? Where was the anxiety? Where was the stuff happening? In his brain, in his mind. You know, this is where we battle still, right? We battle with thoughts. We go down the rabbit hole of this, that, and the other. What if, what if, what if, what if? But it's in those moments that we need to remind ourselves of the faithfulness of God. He's shown himself to be faithful in my past. And because of that, when I remind myself of that, I'm able to trust him with my present and give him my future. But we have to take a moment. In fact, I'll put it this way. My faith in God can help me fight the battles inside my mind. It's important. It's important. Here's the second thing I want to tell you. God isn't afraid of being tested. Let that sink in for a moment. God was willing to fight battles for Ahaz and his people. And you know what? He's still willing to fight battles for his people. He still is. That has not changed. But Ahaz would rather just lose them on his own. He said, basically, no thanks. He's got a word from God speaking directly to him. Ask me for a sign. I'll show you so you'll trust me. Nah, I got this. I'll figure this out. And he went about doing it his own way. He did not trust in the Lord, and he did not look to God. This is the interesting thing, this phrase, sometimes we'd rather lose by depending on ourselves than to trust and depend on God. Sometimes, rather than, because we don't know exactly what he's going to tell us. We don't know exactly, we want to pre-approve. Don't we? We want to pre-approve. I want to, you know, just tell me what it is and I'll let you know if I approve. Doesn't work that way. Doesn't work that way. I look back over my life and I'm so glad God didn't show me all that. I'm glad. I found that his grace was sufficient today, what I'm dealing with today. And I can look back and see that God's hand was moving me and steering my family and helping us get to where he wanted us to be. But I guarantee it's not a path I would have chosen. You're the same. You're the same. That's why we trust the Lord. We trust him. God says, test me. He invites us to test. God invites us to test him in two areas. Fears and finances. Fears and finances. That kind of sums up a lot of our life, doesn't it? Fears and finances. Here's the thing. He's telling Ahaz in the middle of this fear that he's experiencing, test me, ask me for a sign, and I'll reveal to you what my will is and what to do next. And then we know in Malachi 3, he says, test me with your tithes and offerings. Test me with your finances. If you will give me the 10, I'll make the 90% go further. That's the thing about tithing and giving in general. It's a faith step. It's a faith move. We have to believe that God is going to do what God said he would do. And it challenges us. The one thing we don't ever want to test is God's patience. That's why Ahaz got the hay boy. What? It's one thing you're going to try everybody else's patience. You're going to test the patience of my God also? That's something we do not want to do. Ahaz had said no, but God always gave signs proving that he could be trusted. Noah, he gave the rainbow. Joshua, he made the sun stand still to show that he was with them. Hezekiah, who is Ahaz's son, who's king, gets a death sentence. He's dying. He's got something physically wrong with him. And the prophet even comes to him and says, you're not going to recover from this. Get your affairs in order. And Hezekiah rolled over, the scripture says, rolled over and faced the wall and cried out to God and asked for mercy and prayed for God to heal his body. And you know what? God sent the prophet back to him and said, I heard your prayers. I saw your tears. I'm going to grant you 15 more years of life. And he's asked the prophetic man, he said, hey, what sign is God going to use to show me that he's going to do what he just said? And this is really interesting. The sign given was, I will make the shadow that has gone down the steps, 10 steps basically, 10 steps down, I will make the shadow go back up. And these steps weren't just any steps. They were known as the stairway of Ahaz. Something significant has happened. What the father refused to do, the son chose to do, and he has a different legacy resulting from it. I don't know what legacy has been left to you. I don't know what your background is. I don't know what things were left to you, but you get to choose what you leave. You get to set that legacy moment. You get to decide. By trusting in the Lord, you can say, I'm going to send out a different legacy. It's not going to be a legacy of fear. It's going to be a legacy of faith. I'm going to trust God. We are going to trust the Lord to give us the signs that we need to know that we're on the right path. Let me put it this way. By trusting God where others hesitate, I open myself to the blessings he has prepared for those who follow in faith. Here's the third thing. The signs remind me that God is with me. The signs remind me. Isaiah said basically to Ahaz, here's your sign. You won't ask for a sign, God's going to give you one. This is it. Here's your sign. Emmanuel. God with us. I'm going to have my son. He's going to be Emmanuel. Some of you are saying right now, well, his name was Jesus, right? I mean, he's not Emmanuel. This is a description. It's kind of like when people have heard the phrase Babe Ruth. They know the name Babe Ruth, if you follow baseball. But his name was George Ruth. Babe was a describer. He was also called the Sultan of Swat, Bambino, Colossus of Clout. None of those were his names. They were just describing this guy. Here's the other thing. Jesus is, and our Messiah is described as Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Lion of Judah, Lamb of God. These are all describing him. They're describing him. In fact, we'll put it this way. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is understanding of his nature in his descriptors. It tells us something about him. In fact, Proverbs 18:10, you might jot that reference down, says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. We don't pray to the strong tower. We don't call our God strong tower. It's describing who he is. He's a safe place for us when things are not going well. We run there because that's his nature. It's his character. It's who he is. And this sign was given that Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. And this is a great reminder. This sign reminds us that he's here. Whatever you're facing, you may feel alone. But remember, we're being challenged to trust God over our feelings. The truth is, you are not alone. If you're a believer in Christ, if you've walked into that relationship with Jesus, you're not alone. Jesus himself echoed the promise, I'll be with you till the end of the age. I'll never leave you or forsake you. This was the sign. All of that to say this, don't miss the sign. Back in 2019, I was had an unusual season. I was brought in to do some professional presenting to a bunch of law firms on data security. Yeah, let that sink in. Yeah, here's the thing, catch it. I didn't know anything about data security. They handed me a slide deck, basically. They had actually, it's sounding very familiar. Something's happening right now. I had to learn that, and then I would go and present it. But this put me all over the country in different airports that I'd never been in. Now, I have some attention issues. Those things get heightened when I'm trying to navigate or walk through a crowded area, lots of people and noise, and I'm trying to find where I'm supposed to go. And this airplane landed at a particular airport. I won't name it, but it's in Washington, D.C., and it's named after a president. and so we land, and we land in basically, and we taxi. I think we're going to a terminal. We're not. We're going to a parking spot. Pulls right in, whoop, stops. Doors open. We crawl out. We get on a bus, and they take us to a terminal. Now, I'm under the impression that there's got to be some mechanical reason why they just couldn't pull up to the terminal, you know, and I'm thinking, and I know I've got to get to a particular terminal to get my connecting flight so I can come home. So I walk in, and I'm flustered. I'm looking around, and I'm trying to figure it out, and there's so many people. It was like cattle being herded around. The lines were everywhere, and I called my wife. I'm kind of in a panic. I'm like, I got to find this terminal. I only have this small window to get there where I'm going, and I got all flustered. I finally stopped, took a deep breath, and did something men almost never do. I asked a question to somebody. I asked for directions. I was that panicked. And the guy just looked at me. And he does it. He's pointing to a sign that says I'm in the right terminal. I'm where I'm supposed to be. But I missed the sign. And because I missed the sign, I had a lot of anxiousness that I didn't have to have. I had a lot of fear that I didn't have to have. I was experiencing panic that I didn't have to if I'd just seen the sign. When did I see the sign? When I took time and got still and stopped. Sometimes that's what we need to do. We need to take the advice of the psalmist, be still and know that I am God. That basically means get still enough that the awareness of who God is dawns on you afresh. Let yourself be reminded of who he is, God with us. God is here giving us signs of his return. He gave us signs of his coming. Now he's giving us signs of his return. We don't want to miss the signs. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? And you've been so gracious listening, but we want to take a moment now and ask the Holy Spirit, what is he saying to us? Maybe you're in a season right now that is challenging. Is it possible that God is positioning you or getting you ready for some type of step that he's going to ask of you? Holy Spirit, we ask you today, speak to us. We don't want to miss the signs that you've given. What are you saying to us today that will help us find your presence, that will help us find and step into your will for us? Maybe this message is a sign that you're with us in the midst of whatever we're facing. Lord, we're asking today that as you show us, as we get still in this moment, you reveal to us the sign of where you want us to step next. We're asking for the faith and the trust to say yes and take that step. You may be here. You say, Bill, you're talking about this relationship. I know about religion. I know about church. But I don't think I can honestly say I actually have a relationship with Jesus like you've described. But I want to. If that's you today, I want to give you an opportunity to come into that relationship with Jesus. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. It's something that you just can say. After I say it, you can repeat it. And you can say it under your breath. You can whisper it. You can say it out loud. You can say it in your head. What matters is that you believe it and that you mean it. And God will hear this prayer. So if you're wanting that relationship, pray this prayer with me. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you came and lived a sinless life, that you died upon a cross for all the world's sins, including mine, and that you rose again, defeating death, so that I could have a new life. I ask you now to forgive me of my sin. I invite you to come into my life and take control. Come and be my Lord and lead me. And I will follow you for the rest of my days. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Friend, if you prayed that prayer with me, you meant it in your heart and you were sincere about it, and you prayed those words, I want to ask you if you just look up at me and just raise a hand so I can see. I won't call you out. I won't do any of that. But if you said, that was me, Bill, I prayed that prayer with you. I did. If you prayed that prayer with me, I'm going to ask you to do one more thing. There's a number coming up on the screen behind me, and those of you watching online, it's coming at the, I believe, probably the bottom of your screen. But if you would just text the phrase, I prayed, all one word, to 844-HRC-TEXT. We have some resources that we'd love to send you that'll help you better understand what just took place in your heart and what your next steps are, how you can continue to walk in a relationship with Jesus. So proud of you for making that step, for praying that prayer. High Ridge family, would you look up at me here? Let's go ahead and stand. I always catch myself saying, stand to your feet as if you're going to stand to something else. Maybe the most gymnastic among us to do a handstand. It's not me. Thank you so much for being patient, allowing me to bring this message to you today, for listening well. And I would love to just remind you before we dismiss today, Legacy Sunday, next Sunday and the following, the 15th and the 22nd, these are going to be wonderful times, but we're also encouraging, let me encourage you, come prepared to give what God has put in your heart. As you see and rejoice with us of all the things that God has used our generosity to do, let's ask him what that next step is for us that he was asking of us. Come ready to do that. And don't forget the three services that were mentioned on Christmas Eve. It's going to be great. Going to be great. Let me speak a blessing over here as our elders and their wives come to the front. They'll be here available to pray for you if you have any need. So as they're coming, let me pray a blessing over you. Father, I pray every household represented in this room and those watching online, I pray, God, that you would make yourself known, that your presence would be made aware in their lives and their circumstance. Pray that you'd go with us as we go out, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. Thanks for putting up with the bullpen. No, yeah, the bullpen today. Thanks for doing it. Have a great afternoon.
Thank you so much for listening in today. Our prayer is that you are encouraged and strengthened by the message. If you haven't done so yet, be sure to subscribe to this podcast and leave us a review wherever you're listening. If you want to be a part of our online community, connect with us through Facebook or Instagram with the handle @HighRidgeLV, or you can check out our website at highridgelv.com. Lastly, if this ministry has impacted your life and you'd like to support its work, visit highridgelv.com/give. We appreciate your support, and we're believing with you today for God's best in your life. Have an incredible week, and we will see you next time.